right. Good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing? Good, man. I tell you what. Hey, we finally got some rain. Woohoo! Yeah, awesome. I was so excited to see some wet stuff. Matter of fact, I told Jade, my oldest son, we were running back and forth between the house and here, which is only like 20 feet, but we got a little wet. I said, man, what does it feel like to get wet? I mean, I haven't felt rain in so long. I forgot what it felt like, but it was good to have some. And even better, looks like we don't have any more rain for the next week, so we're covered for a while. So that's interesting how that weather pattern has worked out. But I'm so grateful that we're here and that you are here with us as we go through this. And I think I hear angels singing. No, that's there's music on the probably on Spotify there, Josh. Thank you. So what is that in my ears right here? All right. So hey. If you are new here, we want to welcome you in, and hopefully you feel at home. We strive to do our best to make this a really fun, informal gathering where you're coming in and being a part of a family-style atmosphere. There's kids running around. Some stay upstairs, some go down. That's okay. There's a whole bunch of stuff happening. Feel free at any point that you're here to feel that you can and are able to get up and grab coffee or refreshments. There's iced tea. There's the restroom you can use. Whatever you need to do is available to you. If you are first or second time guests, we want to point you in the direction of Miss Dawn in the back. She's got you a guest bag. She wants to hook you up with that to make sure you get some goodies before you leave here today. If you have kids, we have an awesome kids experience we'd love for them to plug into. It's so awesome to be able to see all of them come together, and we have a great team that strives to bless the kids down there and make sure they have a time that is they're going to remember when they get home, but more importantly, that's centered on Christ and gets to have great conversations. We love to start good conversations here at Faith, and that's an awesome opportunity. As your kids come back and you're like, hey, what did you talk about? And they start to tell you, and you can tell them what you maybe listened to me about. I don't know. And then you can hear that forward throughout the week. So that's the goal. If you're online, we've got a gift for you too. So if you're visiting or you just checked us out, hey, get your free ebook. We want to give you. Let us know. Say, yes, I'm new. I'm right here. We want to get you plugged in there. And then if you have kids, we've got a link online on our Facebook page for them to do content at home as well. If you missed this week or something happens, it's all there for you. All right. So make sure you know it's available for you there. A few things we want to highlight happening here around here at Faith. One, I want to say a giant thank you to the church for this past Saturday. Yesterday was a great time as we came together, and Brian Fappes did a fantastic job of putting together the workday. Thank you, Brian, for that. He got us all hooked up for some painting downstairs. We painted the entire kitchen walls. All of them are done, and then half the cabinets are finished up. So we got a little more to go on the cabinets, but other than that, it is getting piece by piece squared away. What I love about working in that space is that the floor has been a work in progress. We're still working. We'll get to that point later, but it's a mess as it is. So whenever we're working, it's like, oh, who cares if we drop paint? It's no big deal. As a matter of fact, one of our neighbor's cats decided to join us. And everybody's like, oh, you know, the cat's going to rub their tail against the wall or whatever. And I said, oh, it'll be fine. It was mostly dry. And then Brian did a great job painting the step as you go into the bathroom in the downstairs area. It was the perfect paint job. And we were all getting busy facing the walls and everything. And we turn around and he says, that cat walked right through that step. You see his paw prints all over the floor. I was like, that's all right. You just can't mess anything up that hadn't been messed up before. So got a little special touch downstairs in the kitchen floor. eventually it'll get dealt with, but right now it's pretty cute. So cats, people, anything, it was so awesome to have all of you down here. So many of you stopped in, even if not to help, but to sit and chat, and that's a blessing too. So I appreciate the moral support as we push through in that morning. And then Steve, where's Steve at? Steve, where are you at, Steve? Yeah, thank you, you're hiding on me, usually up here. Gotcha, all right. Did a great job banging in a handicap sign outside and marking off with the lines. I think that was Rachel's idea, was the lines, right? And so he did a good job of implementing his wife's ideas, because that's what we do as husbands, right? They just tell us what we do, and we try to do it sometimes when we have time to get around to it, right? Okay. Yeah, so he did a fantastic job with that. All that to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for making that possible. We're going to do a few more. We got lots of big projects here at Faith that require lots of different skill sets, but really required just a lot of just sacrifice. Like, hey, I'm going to donate. I'm going to sacrifice my Saturday morning and come in and do something that I really might not even really want to do, but are going to get a blessing out of it, I guarantee you, if you do it. So next month, I think we're going to focus on these walls, right? That's the plan. So you see behind me the pallet wall. We're gonna do a little bit of work to this, but we're also gonna expand that concept, and we're gonna have the same concept on both these walls, and we're gonna talk about what happens after that, because we're gonna have some crazy designs put on them. It's gonna be really cool. So what I love about being a part of this church is that nothing stays the same. and it's always changing, always updating, always modifying. And so this is gonna be the next experience. This whole space will look a little different next month. So if you want to help out with that, and anybody can do it, we can point you in the right direction. Or if you have a kid that maybe you can teach them some carpentry skills, that's what this is about, right? This isn't about coming in and having a professional do the work. This is about us coming together as a church and doing something together so we can be bonded closer and learn new things along the way and new things about each other along the way. So I want to encourage you next June as we do these work days, be a part of that. We'll do another one in July too. There'll be plenty of opportunity to plug in. The other thing I'd like to invite you into is Junction Cafe. Each and every week, our community has a cafe that serves lattes and iced coffees and all these crazy specialty drinks and just a regular old cup of coffee if you want that. And it's open to the community each and every Saturday. There's also a great knit and crochet group that meet here. Where's Anna at? There she is. Is it weekly, bi-weekly? What are we doing here? Okay, weekly. Weekly 9 to 11. So if you want to learn how to knit and crochet and grab some coffee and do just fellowship and just hang out and enjoy each other's company and learn a new skill, feel free to do that. That'd be awesome. We'd love for you to do that. So Junction's open 7 to 11. Come knit 9 to 11. Bring friends, family, learn a new skill, drop in, pop out, whatever you need to do. Just invite and have a great time each Saturday as we gather together. The other thing I want to highlight is May Life Goals. So, hey, you see some crazy writings on the wall, some scribbling. If it's my handwriting, it's scribbling over there on the door. Make sure that you're doing your May Life Goals, right? That you have something in mind that you want to get a little bit better at. I tell my kids, especially Jonas, he's in baseball, and I say their goal isn't always to win. The goal is not even to focus on the result. Is to focus on the process, right? Are you getting 1% better today than you were yesterday? That's related to baseball, but I think you can apply that to all of life. Are you 1% better today than you were the day before? And that mindset is focusing like, maybe I need to lose 20 pounds, but today I just need to focus on a small change that I can make to get to that result, but not worried about the result. So life goals are a great way to do that. They can be spiritual practices, they can be health practices, mental, whatever you got going on that you want to work on and improve in your life, and maybe have some other people walk alongside you in that process, jot it down. By the way, last year we gave away gifts for people who did this. So we get to the end of the year, and every time you do your life goal for the month, you take it off, you put it in that container, and they gather during the year. Then every one you do is another entry into a prize worth about $100 at the end of the year. So if you need some extra motivation, there it is, all right? So make sure you're filling those out when you have time to do so. The last thing I want to highlight is men's and women's groups have combined into a big giant gathering on Wednesday nights at 6, which is pretty exciting because you get some different perspectives from different folks. And so if you'd love to join us, it's every Wednesday at 6. We're going through a study called Why Believe, which is basically a walkthrough of what evidence is there for what we believe and why we believe it, right? That's pretty self-explanatory. So if you have questions about, I don't know about the resurrection. Is that real? Are miracles possible? What about the Bible? Has it been translated 5,000 times or once? What are we dealing with here? We're going to walk through all those questions together over the next 9 weeks. And so I encourage you, if you have any of those questions or concerns, I just want to know, right? We all have those, by the way. It's not just you. And so I encourage you to be here Wednesday nights at 6 as we dive into reasons for our faith and not just things we think might exist, okay? So Wednesday 6, be here. Love for you to be here. And that's every single week for the next 9 weeks. Last thing before we get into our message. If you're here today, and we do this every single week, if you're here today and you would love some help, whether it be just talking to somebody, all right? Maybe you need somebody to advocate for you because you're trying to get some services for your family. Maybe you have some financial help that you're in need of. Reach out to us. Connect with us on our website, faithchurchvt.com. Scroll down to the bottom, you'll see all the contact info, you'll see whatever way is convenient for you to reach out to us, and we'll do our best. I can't promise the world, but we'll do our best to connect with you and to meet you where you are so that you can get the help that you need to get you to the next phase of your life and prayerfully out of whatever you're going through. So feel free to reach out anytime. We want you to. Don't think it's, oh, they're just saying that. We do want to connect with you. For those of you who want to contribute to that effort, it takes every single stinking one of us to pull together to make this possible, right? And I love that fact because not one of us here is like the one who's going to drive this thing forward. It takes every piece of us contributing and giving of ourselves to make this possible. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you love to give financially, we make it happen one of two ways. You can do it in the baskets up front or in the back, or you can give online, faithchurchvt.com. Press the give button. You can also text to give. Well, that can't get easier than that. So if you want to text to give, feel free to do that as well. If you love to donate your time or you have a special talent that you like to do, like Al gave a great example, Justin and Kelsey are phenomenal at what they do. Let me celebrate their talent. They do some phenomenal work with grafting and designing, and there's all kind of incredible projects I've seen them dream up, and it's just amazing to see what they can do. And so they've graciously donated their time and talent to help draft up a church sign that we're going to put out front here in the next few weeks. So if you have a talent like that, well, like, hey, I can do arts or crafts or whatever, hey, come to me. We'll see if we got a use for it somewhere, because I guarantee you we do, all right? So make sure it's not just about finances. It's about all of us contributing everything God has given us to make this place better, but to make this community even better. That's the goal, all right? So I pray that you can do that whenever you can. All right, so let's transition into our topic that we've been going through these past few weeks. If you've been with us for the past 2 weeks, we started a series called Walking Faith. Walking Faith. We talked about, hey, we're not just here to talk about Jesus. We're here to talk about how do we actually live that out from week to week, from day to day, from moment to moment, right? So we've been going through the letter of James, which if you've had any Bible experience, and maybe you have, maybe you haven't, that's, you know, we'll see. But if you've had any, you know that James is an incredibly challenging letter, but it's incredibly insightful. It really helps speak to how we really are and how we need to strive for better, to do better. There's a better standard out there. So in week one, we talked about, man, there's pain and suffering in our lives, right? We all go through trials. We all go through moments where it's just overwhelming, and it feels like, man, I don't know why I'm going through this. And we get moments of anger at God, or we get moments of frustration with others, and it's like, man, I just don't understand what we're doing here. And James said, hey, instead of complaining about that, which we often do, I do anyway, instead of even praying for a way out of that situation, which, you know, if you're a believer, maybe you connect, you're like, man, I don't have any other alternative. I'm going to pray to God about this. He says, instead of doing either one of those, we were to consider those sufferings in our lives to be times of testing that breeds in us patience and endurance. And we're to pray, but we're to pray for wisdom, not for a way out. Pray for wisdom and how we receive those sufferings and how it's going to shape us and change us to look like Jesus. Last week, we discussed how walking out faith requires us to be eager to hear, right? We said you got to be slow to speak and eager to hear, and you have to be slow to anger, and you got to do all these crazy things, and you have to actually put your words that he gives you into action in your life. You have to be a doer, not just a hearer. We also said that being eager to hear means you got to slow down, right? Where's Miss Jan? Is she just up here somewhere? I don't know where she's at today. She's over in the cafe. Miss Jan was talking about this earlier, about how James has really impacted her. And one of the first things she said was about being slow to speak, right? About reining in her words. And so today we're going to dive into that because it's not the most discussed topic, but more often than not, when you read through any part of the Bible, you're going to come up against what our words do and what they don't do, and how they impact and change us and others. So this morning, we're going to dive into looking at five ways our words work against us, all right? Because I think we all hope that our words are going to work for us, and we try to accomplish that goal in our lives, but often, more often than not, our words are fighting against us in various ways. And so we're going to break those down. How are they working against us? And then how can we start to shift that so that they work for us instead? So we're going to get to that in just a moment, but before we do, I want us to have a quick break, and then I want us to discuss this question with one another. So if you're new here, here's how this works. We do this weird thing where we break in the middle of this whole deal, and you get to stop listening to me for 5 minutes, and you get to talk, and you get to interact, and you get to get up. Now, if you're an introvert, and you're like, you don't have to leave. You can sit right there, all right? And nobody's going to come around to you and be like, hey, how you doing, right up in your face. They're going to leave you alone. But if you love to, we'd encourage you to get up, move around, grab coffee, you know, rearrange yourself in whatever way you need to, and then talk to one another if you like. And this is a way to help facilitate that discussion is by answering this question. I want you to name a time something you said got you into trouble. Just one time. Hours. So we only got hey, we're here as long as y'all want to be, but yeah, we probably need to condense it. So just think about that, and feel free to ask that of each other. Go ahead and start having that discussion. When we get back after 5 minutes or so, and Josh, get creative, we're gonna discuss it out loud together if you feel comfortable doing that, okay? But right now, name a time something you said got you into trouble. Take five. We'll come back and discuss it in a few. Thank you. All right. Where's Rich? Rich, hey, he's back there. Hey, awesome. I'm having a hard time tracking people down today. There's lots of good faces for me to focus in on. All right, sweet. Okay, so let's get into this. This should be fun, hopefully. some good stories come out of this one. Name one time where something you said got you into trouble. So who wants to kick us off with that one? Walt's going to go first.
I got 1,000 of these. But his buddy of mine, Hairlip, was a CB handle. And Hairlip was a nervous Nelly. All of that, I mean, I'd seen him in 5-degree weather on the payphone on the Jersey Turnpike with sweat beads on him, calling for directions because he had to go into the city. So we used to tell him, Hairlip, calm down. I used to tell him all the time, calm down, dude. Everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. So he's coming out of Canada, and he's on I-90 eastbound, and he says, it was a beautiful day, you know, truck was cleaned up, I was strolling, and the speed limit was 55. So he's running about 72. So trooper pulls him over, and Hairlip says, I thought about you. And then he cussed me. He said, because I said, calm down. These New York guys ain't bad. So pulled over on the side of the road. Trooper walked up the side of the truck. Driver, you know how fast you was going? Hairlip took my advice. He looked at him and said, why, did you forget? So needless to say, I got cussed out over that. He's still my buddy, and I love him to death, but he would never listen to anything I said afterwards, so...
Oh my goodness, that's good. What a great opening. Perfect. That's what we're looking for. What else? Same time that you or something else maybe someone said to you got you into trouble. Any of those? There we go. Ron's got one up here.
Mine's quick and simple, but last week I got pulled over. I was driving along talking on the phone. Got pulled over, and this nice female state trooper walked up to the window, and she said, do you know why I pulled you over? I said, yeah, I was talking on the phone. She goes, actually, no, but thanks for telling me.
Sometimes being honest doesn't pay. All right. Did you get a ticket for that, too?
No, she actually laughed hysterically.
Oh, good. Awesome. You sweet-talked your way out of that one. All right. Who else? What else we got? One time your words got you into trouble. Surely someone else has got one. Shannon's ready for it. Thank you.
So the only time I ever got in trouble, I used the word drink the Kool-Aid to talk about being excited about something. And anybody who's drank Kool-Aid knows there's a lot of sugar, so you get hyped up, you get excited. But I got taken as a different context, and it got me into a lot of trouble. So.
Yep, there we go. All right. Anybody else with something you said?
Well, one time my radio days, I was on the radio. And of course, you got to be really careful what you say and all this. But the topic was male dancers. And I said, well, you take somebody, and I was interviewing a guest. And I said, well, you take somebody like Baryshnikov. I said, he's extremely light on his feet. Well, the phone board lit up. You should be ashamed of yourself. And I'm like, why? What are these people talking about? What I had said meant he was a very talented dancer.
Right.
But it yes. Got me in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, different connotation there, right?
A lot of trouble.
All right. Anybody else? Those are good. Those are good. Nobody wants to admit the rest of them. All of you have something. You just don't want to talk about it, right? Dave's never said anything.
Okay.
Here we go, Tiff. Thank you.
Well, this one's not too bad, but Philip, like, I have a big family, and Philip's family is really, really small, so I was trying to encourage him for and get him ready for a big event, you know, he's more of an introvert sometimes. And so I said, I was trying to say, it's never as bad as you think. But he said, it's always worse than you think. And he was like, oh, no. It was really bad.
I think that's true, though. I was going to just go ahead and set that bar really low, right? Or really high, depending. All right. Anybody else? Those are great. Fantastic. All right. Any responses online so far? Don't want everybody just keeping their mouths quiet. Nobody wants to admit anything today. That's all right. Good deal. Yeah, good thing she's not here. Awesome. Thank you so much, everybody. I'm surprised nobody said this because it's the first thing that popped in my mind when I had this question come to me this week as I was putting this together because I think the easiest answer of all to this question is the two words. Anybody want to guess it? I do. That's right, Walt. Yeah, I know. All the wives, oh, all right, yeah, okay. But I'm not going to say that. I'm going to skip past that. That's the easy cop-out answer, so I'm not going to leave it there. I had to think long and hard about this question, though, because I have a really bad memory, and it's really selective. So all the times that I've said things that have gone awry, I've kind of like put into this file that just never to be opened again in my memory bank, and so it's really hard to access it. So when I run into problems with my memory, especially when remembering things that I did wrong, the first person I turn to is my wife. And so she did a great job. She does an awesome job of doing her best to practice the forgiveness and love and forgetfulness. And I'm like, how are we just going to push this to the side? She does a really good job of that. But even still, there's still some moments that she remembers. And she did a great job this week of helping me jog my memory of one experience that I had. My words got me into trouble. So she reminded me of a time. We were living in North Carolina. And we wanted to travel to Georgia on vacation to see my family, which is not uncommon. We did it about, I don't know, once a year. It was about an eight-hour trip, nothing too crazy. So we'd been there multiple times. At this point, though, we had three boys, all five and under, I think, if memory serves correctly, which it might not, but she'll correct me if it's not. 5 years and old and young under. So I had this bright idea, right? Instead of stopping just multiple times to deal with crying kids, diaper changes, and then staying with family when you get there, right? These are all things I'm trying to avoid, right? Diaper changes, crying kids, and family. So we're going to go see family. So how do we get down there in a way that's going to make it pleasurable for everybody? So I had a bright idea. I said, man, you know what we can do? Let's rent an RV. Let's rent an RV. This is the perfect solution, right? We can stop whenever we need to. If there's a diaper change that needs to happen, bam, you don't have to get out and do anything. There's plenty of space to spread out, right? Need to use the bathroom? Guess what? We're carrying one, right? You can't ask it for anything better than that. Now, the thing was, as I had never, and she had never at this point, I think it was like 26, 27. I don't quite remember how old we were, but not very old in the grand scheme of things. I'd never driven an RV before. I'd been in one. I toured them. We looked at them before at different places, and I said, yeah, this is like driving a big van, which I do now, ironically, but it's like driving this. But I'd never done it before, and we'd never camped overnight in one before that. But I sold Jen with my go-to line, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. It will definitely be fine. So we did it. And to her credit, man, she goes along with it almost every time. It's really remarkable. So... We did. So we drove to the RV dealer, about an hour and a half away from where we live, assigned the papers, put the deposit down just in case, right? Because if you have something disaster happens and whatever, you got to put down the security deposit. And we drove south. There were some early challenges that we didn't expect that we encountered quickly. The fact that the wind was blowing us all over the place was one of those things. The side door for the actual RV, because this was one where it's all connected, it wasn't a very long one like a bus. It was like a Class A. I don't know how this stuff works, but it was one where you basically have a van front and then you have a big giant house behind you. And so there was a side door and it wasn't well insulated. So the whole ride, it sounds like a jet engine in your ear when you're back in the back out from behind the cab. And so those things were going on, but we've made it the 8 hours down to my family relatively unscathed. And everything was going great, and we're visiting family. We were offloading all the waste. We were taking on all the water. Everything was working perfectly. It was like, man, this is easy, right? We got this thing down, right? And so we said, man, hey, let's leave a day or so early. And let's pop up to the mountains of northern Georgia. Because where I grew up in southern Georgia is nothing but sand, clay, and pine trees and flatlands. So let's go up and have a pleasant little experience and a little quick away before we get back to North Carolina and go back to work. And so we popped up there. We get in at night, and we get into this campground, and we're looking for spots, and again, it's kind of as dark as already past sunset, and I see this spot up on a rise, and there's trees kind of hanging over it, and it's a pull-through. I'm like, oh, perfect, because I don't want to back this sucker up in anything at night, right? What am I going to hit? And so I'm like, this should be good, but those trees kind of worried me, and I'm pretty sure my wife said something about them, and so I was looking at them, and I was like, yeah, you know, it'll be fine. And so we pulled through, and because so far it had been fine, right? So we pulled through, and I get up to the rise, and we're going through. The top end goes through just fine, and we're pulling the other however many feet behind us, and all of a sudden it goes, and I said, oh no, what did it do? But it was dark, and I said, I don't want to know. And so I just kept pulling through, and we just kept going. And then we found another space that had no trees, and we stayed there for the night, and got up in the morning. And sure enough, it had tore a 3-foot rip line in the lining up at the top of the camper. Thankfully, it didn't do any like major structural damage, as in it was still waterproof. But it was damaged. The next morning, I mean, I get up, I'm like, ah, oh, shoot. And there's nothing I can do about it. I mean, we're just stuck. We know we're going home to North Carolina soon. We got to try to make the best of the next couple of days we have left. And just, hey, we're grateful that it didn't cause any major structural damage. But we finally get it back, and guess who doesn't get their deposit back? This guy, right? That was one of the very few times my words, it'll be fine, wasn't fine, right? But it wasn't. It was not. Now, thankfully, those words didn't hurt anything other than the RV and my bank account, which I was really looking forward to having that deposit back. But time and time again, we see in our lives words matter, don't they? Words matter. They can build up, or they can just completely tear us down. They can bless somebody, or they can curse somebody. They can make or break us and others in our lives. They carry this just enormous weight and enormous power, which is why the Bible, in particular, the letter of James that we've been going through, spends so much time on our words. So we've already seen him address words last week when he says, hey, slow it down, don't talk so much. But he comes back around, and three different occasions after this, he's diving back into our words, how our words work against us. And then we're also going to discuss at the very end, how can we start to make them work for us? So let's look in James chapter 3, verses 2 through 12 to begin with. It's going to be up on the screen, but if you have a Bible, I always encourage you to open a Bible up, because you're going to see and hear things beyond what we're just talking about today, and I encourage you to know where to find this stuff. So James chapter 3, 2 through 12, open a Bible physically or an app on your phone. There's lots of great ones. And let's start this together. We'll break it down bit by bit. James 3, verse 2 starts us off. He says, and I really appreciate this, he says, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Now, after all these challenging words the past 2 weeks, right, of take sufferings as joy, of don't get angry, of slow your speech down, be eager to listen, do what you say, all these things, right, I really appreciate James' recognition of reality here when he says, we all stumble, right? Even James, as he's writing this, he said, I'm not perfect, we all stumble. In the Greek, that describes spiritual failure here. It's not talking about, oh, we all fall down and get dirty every once in a while. It means we all stumble along in life at times and get ourselves messed up and broken and stained up, right? Paul, the Apostle Paul puts it another way. He says, we all fall short of the glory of God. That's what James is referring to here. We all miss the mark, falling short of that standard that God has set for us, right? And that mark is most often missed by our mouths. I think most of us would agree on that, right? More often than not, I struggle with saying the wrong thing or not knowing the right thing to say or just saying too much, right? I wrestle with all those things. Anyone else here have a problem with that? Yeah, some of you? No, some of you are like, no, I'm good, whatever, all right. So we all stumble. We all miss the mark with our mouths, but he goes on to state another truth. He says that a perfect person, now remember in the Greek, perfect is not like you got it all together. He means mature. So the person who is growing to be more like Jesus has control over their words and by extension their whole self. That's what he's saying here, right? So if you have enough self-control to rein in your mouth, you have no problem controlling the rest of your life, right? Because the thing is, when we're running our mouths are really running us, right? And that's the very first point he makes with this metaphor he goes to next. It's verse 3 through 5. James says the first way our words work against us is they influence us. He says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies, right? Look at the ships, he says. Though they're so large, so they're driven by strong winds and they're guided by this very, very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot is going to direct it to go. So also, the tongue is a small thing, yet it boasts of just incredibly awesome, great things, right? He uses two really good metaphors here that I think most of us can relate to. He says there's horses and there's ships, right? Horses are the strong, powerful, often very headstrong beings, right? Yet when they're broken, all you have to do is slip the bridle on, put the bit in their mouth, and even a child can guide them where they need to go, right? Anybody here have experience with horses? Horse lovers here? You like some horses? Some people? Like one, okay. All right. Well, you can do this. It's possible, trust me, all right? Now, these ships, they're these massive things, right? They sit on the water. Maybe you've been to Albany and seen the battleship. You see all these crazy big, just massive structures on this water, which always blows my mind that something that big can sit in water and still be afloat. But anyway, so it sits on water, and it's powered by the wind or by the motor, and it's blown around by current or by storms or sometimes by the current that it's sitting on. Yet despite that size, despite all those things that come against it, it can still be directed by one small rudder. One small rudder. See, the things, our tongues are roughly 3.5 ounces. It's a little fun fact for you, by the way. 3.5 ounces inside your mouth. Yet they carry this powerful potential to influence our lives and the lives of everyone else around us. An out-of-control ship can crash and drown everybody on board. A runaway horse can do more than hurt the rider. It can run and hurt itself and hurt others around it. The words that we speak not only affect us and influence us, but they affect everything and everyone that we're around. Even something as simple as a yes or no can change the course of our whole lives. Proverbs 18:21, throw it up on the screen for us, Josh, says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So our words are influencing. Next, our words are often incendiary. He uses another couple of metaphors that I think we can relate to. He says in verse 5b through 8, he says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness, he says. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. So he's mixing a lot of metaphors here, right? You got poison, you've got taming, you have this fire here. I think we've seen recently, all this dry, thank God we had some rain, right? But the past few weeks has been so dry and you couldn't even burn anything, which has been really frustrating unless you're doing it in a fire pit, right? And there's a reason for that. How many brush fires have we had over the past little ways, right? I mean, it's been a lot. Nine brush fires in the past few weeks, right? And most of these isn't somebody out there saying, oh, they have a bit of bonfire, and right? And let's have a bonfire. This is talking about just little, you know, small fires in yards, and one ash, one spark, one something will go off and hit a dry spell somewhere else, and boom, now you've got a big, giant fire to have to put out, right? One out-of-control spark can lead to a whole forest fire. I grew up, thought about this, I grew up in the, I don't even see these anymore, but the commercials with the, what was that forest fire bear? What was Smokey the Bear? How could I forget Smokey the Bear? Smokey the Bear, right? Only you can prevent forest fires, right? Yeah. And Smokey the Bear. So I was thinking about Smokey this week when James is speaking about this, but here's the thing. We speak many small, careless words, not realizing that the person we're speaking to might be living a life that's dry and is just ready to burn at a moment's notice. And our one small hurtful word may be the spark that sends their life up in flames. I remember the saying growing up, this is a quote that kids used to say all the time, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me, right? Words will never hurt me. The older I've gotten, the more I realize that is a dumb word, dumb statement. That's a dumb quote, right? I mean, you can have flesh wounds, they heal. You can have bones that break, but they mend over time. But the hurt caused by words, they sometimes take years or lifetimes and sometimes never fully heal. You've probably heard or used the expression, I've been burnt by people. I think that's what James is driving at here. The effects of fire, I think, are just amazing to me. You see this big, big fires. They have ash fall down. They cover everything, and it stains everything. You see smoke, and it chokes everybody out, and it makes it really hard to see. And then even years later, you can see the effects of fire after it's been going through a forest. And it's the same with people. It's the same with people. Years later, after being burnt by words that someone said to them, people still show the effects, don't they? Maybe you do. So our words influence us and others. Our words are often incendiary, and they're also inconsistent. James verse 8b through 10 says this. He says, it's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, here's how we use it. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. Restless here in the Greek is the same word he used last week to describe someone who is unstable and double-minded, okay? Our words work against us because we're inconsistent in our use. One minute we're praising God, which is the highest form we can use our words for, and the next minute we're cursing our neighbor. And here, cursing doesn't mean we're just throwing profanity at them. Cursing means that we're using all the words that you can think of to demean them, to hurt them, to put them down, to see them diminished and separated from God and from others. We talked about that as inconsistency in week one, right? We want, I believe all of us, on some level, want the good things of God. But we don't have enough trust in Him to receive them. And often we have this pull and tug in our hearts. And James is saying that same double-mindedness works its way out our mouths. We confess the indescribable love of Christ. Well, man, I'm so grateful that Jesus loved me enough to die for me, that I can live this life in freedom because of what He's done. But when we meet difficult people who are made in His image, we default to bitter or hateful words. There's a story I read one pastor tell. He said a little girl sat with her arms wrapped around her father's neck. I love that image. I love my daughter, my only one. And I love it when she comes and she hugs me and she says, I'm better than her mom, which is not true, but that's what she says. And
that's something that'll get you in trouble.
That will. Hey, that's what get her in trouble, yes. And so the pastor says, hey, this little girl came up and wrapped her arms around her father's neck. And her mother was watching. And she watched her daughter hug her husband's neck. She watched as her daughter stuck her tongue out at her brother, which is a very daughter thing to do and brother thing to do. All right, ladies, don't get on me. All right, both. It's a very sibling thing to do, right? And the mother saw this and she responded. She says, take your arms from around your father's neck. You can't love your father and at the same time stick your tongue out at his son, right? You see, to profess love for God while insulting or talking down to people made in His image is offensive to God, right? If you didn't know that, now you know. So you can't sit there and say, man, thank you, Jesus. I'm just doing all that I can for Jesus, right? And then as soon as someone comes in your life that you're having a hard time, where you're like, man, I can't stand that person. I wish they'd go away. Why do they have to always keep coming up here, messing with my stuff and doing what I don't want them to do and talking all these hateful, and just get all this on you. And Jesus is saying, you can't hug the Father and hate Him or her. Our words are influencing. They're incendiary. They're inconsistent. He keeps going. He uses two more metaphors, one to bring this point home. It's 11 and 12. He says, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, can they bear olives? Or can a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Here's the thing. If you want to know where someone's heart is, listen to what they say and how they say it. To me, that is the easiest barometer if I know how someone's life is going. Where is their heart? Where are they at in their relationship with Jesus? I don't have to watch. It doesn't take very long at all. Just give me about a 10-minute honest conversation with them, or just a 10-minute conversation where sometimes people just slip up, and I will tell you where your heart's at. Not because I'm great at it, because your words tell the truth, whether you want them to or not. A person transformed by Christ, James says, should speak like a fresh spring produces sweet water. And if it's not, then something's polluting the water. The writer of Proverbs puts it this way, Proverbs 10:11. You can go ahead and throw that up there too, Josh. He said, the mouth of righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Our words work against us because they influence us and others. They're incendiary. They're inconsistent. But he keeps going because he's got a lot to say about it. We're going to try to pick it up, though. James 4, verses 11 and 12, he says this. He says, do not speak evil against one another, brothers and sisters. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. And there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? By neighbor here, by the way, he's not speaking of everybody in community. He's speaking about brothers and sisters in Christ, just so we know, clarify. Speaking evil here, though, I want to clarify what this means too. It doesn't mean, again, cursing. He's not talking about that. What he's doing, he's talking about personal attacks or accusations that often come through simple things like criticism. You ever met somebody out that's really critical? It's like really critical. It's like everything you do, they've got something to like needle you about it. Like you just didn't do this one thing right, right? Maybe you have that person in your life. Now, James is saying you're not to do that. And he's not saying not to correct one another by telling the truth in love, but he's saying you shouldn't be this bitter, selfish spirit that's overly critical and never offers any alternatives when you see something that might not be right, which we often do. Because it's way easier to judge others and talk about them behind their back than it is to have an honest conversation to their face and tell the truth. It just is. That's reality. Judging, critiquing, gossiping, they don't serve to build anybody up. All they do is spread division and strife. It allows the critic to place themselves as judge over the person they're judging instead of walking alongside them as this inseparable body of Christ. See, our words work against us by festering this pride and this bitterness in us. It causes division within the church, within us, our family. Our words are often insightful, meaning they're driving, they're pointed, they're harmful instead of insightful, as in they're seeing with the eyes of God. James is done. He keeps going, chapter 5, verse 12. He says, but above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Now, swearing here, a lot of this going back. This isn't talking about profanity again, but it's like saying things like, I swear to God, or just like, I swear. Maybe you've had a conversation with somebody that have started the conversation with the word honestly. You ever been like, or maybe you said it yourself. You ever done that, right? You've been talking with somebody and they come and say, man, honestly, you know what? I just don't, or I do. And you're like, man, using that word honestly there means, is all the other stuff you said before that dishonest? I mean, why do you have to put honest in there? Why do you have to say, I swear? Why do you have to do these things? When you say those things, what you're saying is you don't believe that other people trust you. I'll say that again. When you say words like, I swear to God, or I swear, or honestly, you're saying you don't think that other people you're talking to believe you or trust you. You have to reinforce it with something else. It's a small thing. And so many of these things James is pointing out. Don't be critical, overly critical and harsh. Don't swear. Don't use harsh words. Don't set people on fire by what you say. All these things. It's like, man, this is crazy. Who cares? What difference does it really make if I swear or use the word honestly or do these things? But how we use words has meaning. And how we use them shows the window to our heart. James is quoting Jesus here when he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. This is my go-to verse with my kids, by the way. This is one I latched onto it and I've taken and ran with it because all the time they'll come up to me and say, hey, can we go do this? And I'll say, maybe, because that's what I do. And they're like, you know, because maybe buys me time. So anyway, I'll say maybe. And they'll be like, no, can promise me we're going to do this. I say, I'm not going to promise you. I will not promise you. I will not do that because my word is my bond. And if I say yes, it's going to happen. And if I say no, it's not going to happen. if for me to have to say I promise or I swear or all these things means that you have to have that to trust me, when what Jesus and James is saying is that we are to be trustworthy in all that we do, in all that we say. They're both saying that we aren't to use words to twist truths to our own advantage and to manipulate through promises and swearing. Maybe you had that happen in your life. Maybe you had a parent or a friend, and you know, you come up to them, and you're like, man, they failed you a bazillion times, over and over and over and over and over again. So you come to them, and so how they're going to reinforce that, hey, I'm going to come through this time, and I promise you I'm going to do that for you this time. I'm going to get that done for you. I got you. And what they're doing, whether they realize it or not, and maybe you've done this, is that's manipulating. That's twisting the truth to be able to gain your own advantage out of it. That's saying, hey, you can trust me, even though I failed a thousand times over, you can trust me. But you really can't. So Jesus and James here says that we are to be like our Heavenly Father. We are to practice simple, honest, consistent communication with everybody in our lives. Say what we mean and follow through with what in the world you say, please, Jesus, all right? I'm fine with a thousand no's, but if you say yes, please, please, especially if you are a Christ follower, please follow through, please. There is nothing more frustrating to me than when someone says yes and they don't follow through. Because again, you are not displaying what Christ has called us to display. We are called to display integrity instead of insincerity. But often we're more insincere than have our integrity intact. That's honest. That's how it works. I know it. So our words work against us because they negatively influence us and others. They are incendiary. They're inconsistent and they're insightful and they're often insincere. Now, why does James care so much? Because words are the halfway point between what we do and how we feel. Often before we do, we speak. Our words become our works, right? And our words also reveal our hearts. Jesus says this in Luke 6:45. He says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Bitter words expose a heart that's hard. Angry words, a heart that's full of fear and insecurity. Boastful words, a heart that's full of self-pride or self-doubt. And the list goes on and on and on. Here's the thing. You can clean up your mouth. You can stick to your word. You can hold your tongue more often. You can do all these things, but that does not make you a better person or a better follower of Jesus. What you're doing when you try that is you're whitewashing a tomb. What needs cleaned isn't your mouth, but your heart. Psalm 51:10 says, this is David, he's crying out in prayer. He says, create in me, O Lord, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. David knew what it was about. David failed often, but he knew the solution wasn't to be a better person. He knew the solution wasn't to try harder. He said, what I need is a heart change. I need a renewal in here. If I'm not to hate my brother, if I'm not to speak harsh words, if I'm not to talk behind their back and gossip and harbor these feelings in me, what I don't need is soap in my mouth. What I need is your spirit in my heart, changing me, renewing me, day in and day out. You see, James said, there is no man who can tame a tongue, and that's true. But there is one man, fully God and fully man, Jesus, who can tame it. By first renewing our heart. When we turn to Him, He turns that hateful flame that we've burnt others with into tongues of fire from the Holy Spirit that purify and cleanse. When we turn to Him, He takes away that bitterness and turns it into sweetness. He takes that complaining and turns it to gratitude, that pride into humility, that anger into peace, that lie into truth. to control something as wild as our words, we need a greater master than ourselves. We need Jesus and His Spirit living in us. We need to constantly go back to Him to seek forgiveness when we fall short, because guess what? James said, we all stumble. And to receive from Him this fresh outpouring of mercy, of grace, and of a power that enables us to grow up to be more mature believer who starts to not just talk the talk, but to speak with integrity, so that not only our words become our bond, but so does how we act and live our life. We can talk and walk our faith through His power alone. Now, if you're here this morning and you're someone who doesn't know Jesus, and you're like, man, I've kind of heard about Him, I've been in churches, we've talked about Him, I've been around a family, may I have some background with that. Maybe I've had some religious experience or spiritual practice or whatever the case is, but I'm not following Jesus. Now, only you know the answer to that question, if that's you or not. I don't know that. But if you're here and you're like, man, I want to not just know about Jesus, but I need to experience His power and presence in my life. I need to be forgiven for all those times I burnt somebody by my words. And I need to have the power and the ability to forgive those who have burnt me. That's not going to happen through self-help program. That's not going to happen through inner peace. That happens through a Holy Spirit pouring on you, changing you from the inside out. If you want to know Christ, today is the day. Today is the day to do that. We're going to talk about how to make that happen in just a moment. For believers, though, as we wrap up here, the most powerful force, I believe, hindering our journey in maturity in Christ, we're all supposed to grow up. I said this week one, the whole point of being in Jesus isn't to sit here and listen to me. It isn't to go read your Bible more or pray more. The whole point of going through what we go through is to grow up in Jesus. It's to grow up. You need to be ready to grow up. So what hinders our journey in growing up is often the misuse of words. So I want you to think this week. I want you to think right now. Maybe you already have, but start thinking through. What are words we use habitually, and what effect are they having on our actions and relationships? And it's not just a matter of, man, I'm going to speak positive. I'm going to speak kindly. I'm going to do better about that. It's a matter of dealing with repentance about the negative words we used. Is there somebody I need to apologize to? You start with God, but then there's someone else you've hurt. Is there somebody else I need to apologize to? Is there a broken relationship that I need to mend? My prayer is that it's going to start today. That we who are in this space, that if you've come to know Christ and you're just striving, again, we're falling around and we're stumbling over each other and it's messy and it's not perfect, but we who are striving and have been drawn by the love and grace of a perfect Savior, that we will be known as a people who speak the truth, but with love, with patience, with grace, that we give each other the benefit of the doubt instead of rushing to criticism or harsh words, and that we are quick to forgive when we fall short instead of cutting back on those that hurt us, instead of leaving when we're hurt by the words of others, that we continue to strive to look and sound like Jesus in all that we do. Let's pray. Now, if you're here this morning and we always want to start with people who are seeking after Christ, who are having that drawing on their spirit, that within you, I can't even describe how this works, but within you, you know, as I'm speaking, what's happening isn't a manipulation, isn't just a great, great message, woo, but there's God working in you, that the Spirit is working in you, that God Himself is going, wake up. It's time to wake up. It's time to follow Jesus. Now, if that's you and you're ready to respond to that drawing, that calling on your life, how you do that is through prayer. And prayer is just to communicate, it's just talking to God. It's not complicated. It's just talking to Him. And you can say these words or words like these. It's not magic. It's not a formula. It's your heart crying out to Him. You could pray, dear Jesus, first, I'm sorry. I am so sorry for all the words that I've said. God, I need forgiveness from You. I admit I've fallen short. I've stumbled. I'm dirty. I'm messed up, God. Today, though, I know that You clean. that you heal. You promised forgiveness, that your love took you to the cross, God, so that you took on all the words I've said already, and you've promised that you will forgive me and you will make me your own, that you will put your spirit within me, renew me, give me a fresh start and a fresh life, so that not only do I start talking different, but I start acting different. I start walking different. I have different relationships with people. I can begin to forgive others who have hurt me. Lord, I need you this morning and every single morning. If that's you and you said that prayer or again, one like it, I encourage you, find me, find John Boucher's up front, Walt's in the back, Dave, so many people in here in this room who want to help with you walk that journey, because that's the beginning. That's not the end. You didn't arrive right now. What you've done is you've started on this hike up a mountaintop. And every day is a day you get one step closer to being that grown-up believer that Christ has called us to be. And so if that's you, we want you to start that journey with us by walking alongside us as we stumble and you stumble till we get to the top together. So I want to encourage you to follow up with us before you leave today. Online, make sure you're doing that as well. You still count there too. For the rest of us, and as we close this morning on this thought, let's pray together to this effect. Lord, man, there's so many words that I wish I could suck back up into my mouth. God, there's so many words that I wish I could have said. 10 minutes, 20 minutes a day, 10 years after I didn't say them. There's so many people who have been hurt or who haven't been helped because of what I have said or didn't say. And Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Lord, help us all to not rely on our own wisdom or strength or ability to control what we say, but Lord, let us each day lean in closer to you. God, start our day with you. Lord, connect back to you through prayer and through times, God, of just of reading your word, Lord, to be able to come back to you, Lord, to renew within us our hearts, God, so that everything we speak will be of you and not of ourselves. So that when we're talking to our neighbors that we don't like, when we're talking to people, God, in our community that are far from you and far from us, and we have this division in our lives about, Lord, that we can see them as you see them, that we are insightful, God, looking at them through your eyes and not insightful, and burn them with our words that we want to speak. God, renew us and change us. Take away the bitterness and the complaint, God, that festers within us. God, lead us to live lives of joy and gratitude. God, humility instead of pride. God, let our words be your words this week. And let it heal the divisions, the strife, the conflict that we have wrought and others have wrought in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much, church. In person, we're going to worship in just one moment. Online, thank you for being with us all the way to the end, I pray. Make sure you're sharing, subscribing, liking, do all the things you need to do to keep up with us, not because we're special, but because we want you to be on this journey with us, to follow in and check in with us each week, whether you happen to be around the world or right here in our area. And one day, prayerfully, you'll come and sit with us and have an awesome time sharing in this experience together in person. But until then, thank you for being with us, and we cannot wait to see you next time. Thanks so much.